It's a well-known story. I think we all know the story of Jonah. Let's just read it through. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw cargo that was in the ship into the sea, to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. Excuse me. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for who caused this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you?" So he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to them, "What shall we do that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more temperate. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me in." What a crazy thing to say, isn't it? When you think about it, isn't it? It's a terrible storm. And he says this. Then he said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more temperate against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood for you, O Lord. Have done it as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly and said, "I cry out to you, Lord, because of my affliction." And he answered me, "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me. All your billows and your waves pass over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep close around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head, and I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways, from the violence that it is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. He did not do it, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Our Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm that so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he said, wish death for himself, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, is it right for me to be angry even to death? But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock? Amen. Amen. It's, you know, the book of Jonah was written to emphasize that God loves all people. You know, if we wonder why certain books were written, this is the reason why the book of Jonah was written. That God loves all people. You know, to me, very much the Old Testament goes hand in hand with the New Testament. Because God says, for God so loved the world, didn't he? He doesn't just love the Jewish people, but he loves all people and desires to show them mercy based upon repentance. Isn't that wonderful? You know, where did Jonah says this, doesn't he? I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Isn't that wonderful? The book of Jonah was written to show that God loves all people, Jews, Muslims, Gentiles, the lot, isn't it? God declared that all nations of the earth would be blessed through the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12:3 says this, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families in the earth shall be blessed. You know, Nineveh was a great, mighty city of the Assyrians. You know, the Assyrians and the Jews, there was no love lost between them. Still today, isn't it? The Assyrians and the Jews are still at war. You know, but God loves all people, doesn't he? I like what Steve said the other morning, you know, just because we believe that the Jews are God's people doesn't mean that he agrees with everything they do. Isn't that right? He doesn't, you know, but God loves all people. And Jonah was sent, a Hebrew. Can I say something? Jonah was the most patriotic person you'll ever meet. And he hated the Assyrians. And God sent him to his enemies to proclaim repentance. You know, and that is the kind of God we worship, a God of love. God's plan from the beginning of redemptive history has been global. It's not for a select few. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. And we find that as we read in Acts, and we, when Paul and Peter and those were called to go and preach to the Gentiles. But his redemptive history has been global for all mankind. For every person, there is salvation for every person. The love of God for all man was dramatically revealed to Jonah when he answered the prayers of the Gentile sailors and responded to the repentance of the pagan Ninevites. He answered the prayers of the Gentile sailors. You know, they prayed. It says in, in verse 14, therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. And it says then in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. You know, God, his love was for everyone. You know, for those Gentile sailors. He doesn't want any to perish, does he? But he wants all to come to repentance. That's what the word of God says. To me, there are four things I just want to quickly look at this morning that I think illustrates about Jonah. As I say, you know, God's love is for all man. But the first one is, God's plans and purposes are perfect. You know, as I just said now, who would have taken Jonah to do this thing, you know? The plan was perfect, even when Jonah sailed to Tarshish. God knew. You know, God knows us, doesn't he? Does God know you? God knows us. He knew Jonah. He knew him. He knew how disobedient he was. But his plan was perfect. The plan was to save the pagan Ninevites. But in sailing to Tarshish, the Gentile sailors were saved as well. What's that saying? You killed two birds with one stone? Isn't that wonderful? You know, he said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes to Tarshish. But in his disobedience, the sailors get saved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that perfect? The sailors got saved. The purpose was perfect. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as such count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, we should underline that, shouldn't we? All should come to repentance. You know, God's plan and purpose for Jonah was that Nineveh would come to a place of repentance. And not only did that happen, but so did the sailors. You know, God knew that if he sent someone to Nineveh, they would repent. You know, even Jonah said that in his anger, didn't he? He said, I knew they were going to do it. He wanted God's wrath to come down upon those Ninevites, to destroy those Assyrians. And what did they do? They repented. No wonder he was so angry and frustrated. He said to God, he said, see, I told you what would happen, God. And God was saying to him, yeah, I knew. I know myself they were going to repent. But that's God's wonderful, wonderful love, isn't it? He knew that they would repent. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's the God we worship. His purpose was perfect. He wants none. He wants every single person. You know, we went out last night, me and Sarah, and we went down to the coal exchange. And I was there, just sitting there, and I was thinking, God wants every single person here to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose. That's why we're here for. We are the modern day Jonas, in one way, aren't we? Jonah was the prototype to the modern day disciple. You know, when they build new cars, they build a prototype, don't they? This is the first, and then we'll get it a bit better, and that's what Jonah was, the modern day disciple. He was sent to preach repentance. And that is what the purpose of us is this morning, to go and tell people about Jesus. You know, it says Jonah was the only Old Testament prophet sent to preach to the Gentiles. He was the only one. Elijah was sent to Sarephath to live for a season, and Elisha journeyed to Damascus. But Jonah was the only prophet sent to preach to the Gentiles. And the book of Jonah is the message. It's the message of repentance. Jonah was given a message of repentance and mercy to preach directly to the Gentile city. The call to Jonah in verse 2 is the same to us in Matthew 28:19. It's the same. It's exactly the same. God said to Jonah, arise, go. Matthew 28, God says, go. And the message in the Old Testament there is the same in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, and the same today. We are to go and tell people about Jesus. Tell them about his great and mighty love. That's what Jonah was sent to tell people about, that God loved them. Do you know, that really, really narked Jonah was the fact that not only did God send him to tell him to repent, but he knew that God loved them. And the thing is, the Jews, even today, have got this very selfish attitude that the gospel, that God is only for them. But the fact is, God is for all mankind. Isn't that right? It's for all mankind. It's not for a select few. Salvation and the cross was not for a select few. It was not for a select club. But it was for all mankind. And that is what God was trying to get through to Jonah. Jonah, it's not just for the Jewish people, but it's for all mankind. It's for Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, all religions, that Jesus loves them and he wants them to repent and come to that knowledge of them. You know, do you notice one thing? You know, when Jonah was in the boat and the tempest was coming, and it says that all the sailors went to pray to their God. You know, in those days they had all different gods. But they came to a realization that there is only one God. Isn't that right? There is only one God. It was the same with the Assyrian. They worshipped many gods. But God sent Jonah to tell them that they were to come to a place of repentance, that there is only one God and his name is Jesus. Amen. You know, he hadn't come, Jesus, then, but he was to come. So the plan, it was perfect. Even when Jonah went to Tarshish, the purpose was perfect. God loves mankind. Secondly, God chose the perfect person. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever God does is never a mistake. God has never made a mistake in his life. Even when Adam and Eve failed, he never made a mistake. But he chose the perfect person. Jonah was the perfect person for the job. And when God chooses us, when he picks us, we are the perfect people for that job. He chose us to go and tell the world about him. Isn't that wonderful? He picked the perfect person. We're perfect. Well, kind of perfect, aren't we? You know, we will one day be perfect, but we're perfect for the job. And Jonah was the perfect person. God doesn't pick anybody. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't pick anyone. He doesn't cast lotteries or go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you know. Or we'll have that one by there and go, he picks the perfect person because he knows us. And he has a plan and a purpose for every single person. What was amazing to me was the fact was, yeah, in one way, Jonah disobeyed God. But in another way, he went after the second time and he went and done the word of God. He went there. God knew the heart of Jonah. He knew the person he was. Very patriotic, a person who loved Israel. Yet God was willing to use him. Isn't that wonderful? God was willing to use him. And he's willing to use us today for the same purpose. To tell people about Jesus. And we should be, grateful. We should be blessed that the fact that God wants to use us to tell people about Jesus, isn't it? Thirdly, God is the God of the second chance. I love that. You know, when we fail God, God picks us up and brushes us down. You know, in one way, Jonah failed God, but God was willing to use him again. God could have left Jonah to sink in the boat, but he chose not to. You know, when we sin against God, when we fail God could choose to leave us, wallow in our sins, but he doesn't. He gives us chance after chance after chance. And through the Bible, we see that God gives man chance after chance. Genesis 18:12, God promised Sarah and Abraham a child. And what did Sarah do? I find this amazing. Sarah laughed after God promised her a child. She laughed. She said, how many years old? 80 was it? I can never have a child. And she laughed. She thought God was foolish. But you know what? God gave her a second chance. And through Sarah and Abraham, we are here today. Isn't that wonderful? David gets Uriah the Hittite killed and commits adultery with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11. And what does God do? What does God do? I'll tell you what God does. God sends the prophet Nathan to confront David. David repents. And what does God do? God restores David. He is a God who gives chance after chance after chance. He is the God of the second chance. He doesn't give up on us. He didn't give up on Jonah. Peter, in John 18, denies Christ. Peter the reed who sways back and forth. Yet on the day of Pentecost became Peter the rock. You know, he never gave up on Peter. Peter, when Christ was crucified, decided to go back fishing. And what does God do? Brings him back, doesn't he? He is the God of the second chance. That when we fail God, he will use us again and again. There are so many examples of God's second chance of grace, isn't it? We worship a God of grace and of mercy. Amen? Grace and mercy, who gives us a second chance. And finally, God's ways are not our ways. Isn't that wonderful? Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You know, God's ways are not our ways. We think God should do it this way and that way. In the situation of Jonah, I don't think we would have thought of. But God does hit his way, isn't he? Who in their right mind would have used Jonah to go to the Ninevites? He hated them, and the last thing he wanted for them was to repent. But God does do things our way. Then again, would you use Paul to preach the gospel? You know, God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things with them. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the book of Jonah has been called the outstanding missionary book of the Old Testament. Through the reading of Jonah, we see God's coming plan. That was Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, the plan for the church, to bring people to the knowledge of God, which will bring repentance, which was Jonah's message. You know, Jonah's message is the same today as it was all those years ago. To repent, isn't it? To tell people to repent, to turn to God because he loves them. And sometimes we like Jonah. Instead of going where God has sent us, we go the opposite way. But God is willing to give us a second chance. Isn't that wonderful? God is willing to give us a second chance. Not only a second chance, but a third chance and a fourth chance. You know, I remember many years ago, I shared this with a few people, when I first became a Christian. And I was at a football match. I was at Ashton Gate watching Cardiff City and Bristol City. And God said to me, I know it's from God. At that time, I wasn't quite sure, but I know it was from God. Told me to go and tell a policeman that God loved him. You know, I'll never forget that. God told me to go and tell a policeman that God loved him. And you know what? I didn't do it. But you know what? God has given me a chance after chance after chance to tell people that God loves him. You know, when we fail God, God still is willing to use us. Isn't that wonderful? And we mustn't give up hope in that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just pray.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning that the message today is the same as yesterday and forevermore. Lord, we thank you for the illustration and the story of Jonah. We thank you, Lord, that yes, he did go the opposite way, but you gave him a second chance. And Lord, I thank you that you give us chance to tell people that wonderful, wonderful news that you love them, Jesus. And I pray this coming day that you would give us opportunities to just to speak to people, to tell them about your mighty love. We thank you now and forevermore. Amen.